What's up, folks? Welcome back to the Shiitake Podcast. As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. With me is our co-host, Mamats. Mamats, say what's up to the people.
Hai semua, apa kabar?
Did nobody understand that? Also, This guest host, we got with us again, Mateo. Mateo, what's good?
What's going on, guys?
All right, folks. So this week we did a review on Tower of God. But before we get into that, we got Mateo with the question of the week.
All right. So kind of going with an isekai theme. If you were going to be reincarnated into a world, and just for kind of standards, we're going to put it into kind of like an old style world with knights, mages, and dragons and things like that, no futuristic stuff. You're reincarnated. You're reincarnated as a person, not an animal. What is the one ability? You get to choose any ability, or for some reason the word is blanking, but I'm just going to call it ability. What is the one ability you would kind of take for yourself to get you started in another world? I mean,
is this like a magical skill or like a physical?
It could be anything. Magical, physical. It could be something freaking anything that you can think of. I mean, anything that you can think of, really.
So there's no limit on that one skill.
I wouldn't say there's a limit, but I mean, each and every skill has their limits. But I mean, if you want to put a limit on it, then we can say it has to be a skill that we have observed and seen in any isekai anime that we've watched. Hey, you can thank Mamats for that. Mamats was trying to get fishy, so I had to put him on a leash.
All right. One more question. Will that skill be like have a consequences on our body or something?
Stop asking questions.
I mean, it's gonna have. So since we're taking it from an observed anime that we have watched, whatever the consequences on that anime character are, you will inherit. So if that ability has consequences, you inherit the consequences.
Right, that's fair.
Whatever, Mats.
How about you, Shannon? Do you have any idea?
That you don't get to start you fucked it up. No, you don't get to start. You fucked it up. You start.
I mean, that would be easy for me, man. I'm going to take Sharingan into the Isekai world. I will have Sharingan, man.
Wait, why Sharingan?
It can do anything that I want. I can put a genjutsu.
No, you have to be looking at them.
No. You can't even get that far yet. Sharingan can only copy chakra attacks. So you have to hope for world you end up in just chakra.
Wait, which Sharingan is he taking, though? Which Sharingan? There's like 8 million different ones. You need to specify.
I mean, I can go with Itachi's one.
The Mangekyo?
Yeah.
So you're going to go blind?
Power, it has a powerful genjutsu. Everything that I want, man.
You're going to lose your eyes then. Sounds good.
You're going to go blind.
Yeah, whenever I use the Mangekyo power, not the basic one.
Right.
Yeah, but the whole point of having it is to use the Mangekyo.
Not at all, man.
I can unlock Susanoo.
People around, you know?
All right.
We're getting the Sharingan can only copy chakra attacks.
No, if you want to copy something. But if you don't want to copy something, if you want to do a genjutsu.
Techniques, you can copy physical movements and techniques, but you can only duplicate chakra. You can only duplicate a chakra attack. So, if you're in a world that does chakra, you cannot copy it.
That's not how it works.
As long as he can duplicate physical movements, that's really all he needs. Because if he's fighting some dude with a sword, just shotting on it, and then he just duplicates his movements and just kills him.
I'm not saying he can't copy physical. He can't copy physical moves. I'm talking about the other specialty of the chakra or the Sharingan, i.e., via Kakashi, is copying techniques.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you want to copy techniques, I don't have techniques, man. I can do a genjutsu on people.
I'm not using it to copy any techniques.
Yeah, I mean, he can do genjutsu. Remember that.
Yeah. Itachi is a genjutsu, you know?
All right.
So there you go, man. I got Sharingan.
You got Sharingan.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Shannon?
Well, since you nerfed me originally because you kept running your mouth, I gotta come to another one. So, but I'm gonna be a total fucking cheat, and I'm gonna use duplicate.
Is that from MHA?
No, duplicate as in from in another world with a smartphone.
Fucking what an awful show.
So you need a smartphone to do that then?
Yeah, that's fine.
How are you gonna bring a smartphone? You're not bringing anything with you. You're getting reincarnated.
Your own skill, man.
He was reincarnated in another world with a smartphone. That's the name of the fucking show.
But you're not getting reincarnated with a smartphone. You're just getting reincarnated.
Yeah. You cannot bring anything else.
No, you're gonna get hit by a truck, die, and then reborn.
He was reborn in another world with a smartphone. I don't want to hear this bullshit. Trying to say, oh, you can't do that. No. I follow the rules.
I mean, you don't have the smartphone to do the things, man. So how?
It's okay. You're just using Sharingan, put him in a genjutsu, steal his phone, and then you're good.
You can't use my phone if I lock it.
Shut up. Oh, goddamn, there's no not face ID. He's just going to hold it up to your face.
Yep.
No, that's for.
Man, that is not fair. You cannot bring a phone. This is not the question. That is not the real answer.
Ain't nobody said I can't.
I mean, you can bring, like, Kamehameha.
What? And?
Or a spirit bomb. We can do that, but not as much, man.
Nobody said I can't bring stuff with me. No. I follow the rules. Quit trying to nerf my shit.
It's true. I didn't say that. So, I mean, I'll give it to Shannon.
Oh, man. Come on now. Oh.
It's okay. You guys didn't even take broken skills. It's all right.
My skill was broken, but I can't remember what anime I saw it from, so I can't use it.
That's why MHA. MHA has the guy that have like duplicate quirks, right?
Well, no. So the duplicate quirk doesn't work that well because there is a recoil. This one doesn't have a recoil. But the original one I was going to do was replicate, to where it does the same thing as duplicate, but it also does abilities. But I can't remember what freaking show I saw it on.
Oh, man. All right. Let's move on.
No, Mateo hasn't told us his.
Damn, he skipped me straight up. All right, Mamata, I see you.
I want to go to yours, I guess.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go anyways. Of course, I gotta pick a skill. I'm gonna choose Gluttony from Slime.
Devour that's everything.
One, but you gotta eat everything.
Yeah. That's fine. But you gotta remember, he doesn't. Oh god, dang it! I can't use it because it's from season 2. But yeah, that's fine. Gluttony, I'll eat everything and inherit some powers. That's fine. Easy game, easy life.
So in a way, you are going to do like the guy from Arifureta.
In a way, because wish you guys.
You are reborn as a human, right? Not as a slime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I like I said, it'd be easier if like season 2 was already finished and you guys would have watched it, because how he uses gluttony is a little bit different. But since you haven't, I'm gonna be eating everything.
Spoiler alert.
No, I'm not spoiling it, but gluttony, I'll eat everything. I'm inheriting powers. The first person I'm going to eat is Mamats because I want that shining gun. Done.
It me? I will cast a genjutsu on you before that. Or maybe I will take Shannon's phone and throw
wait,
it.
Wait, no, time out. Wait, no, if we're bringing something, then I'm bringing sunglasses so you can't use your genjutsu on me. Fuck you, bro. I'm just bringing non-powered sunglasses.
Catching your own question now. Oh, that's how it works. Oh, all right.
No. Shannon found the loophole. I'm just riding with it. You can thank your boy Shannon for that one.
Bro, wow, so cheap now, huh? Oh man.
So, side note, I found something hella funny. So, I was looking up like overpowered isekai powers and stuff, mm-hmm. and number 7. So they literally have it separated between best and worst. So, like, number 10 best is power of max level from Overlord. And then I was like, number 8 best, Predator and Gluttony. And then we got to number 7, which is a worst. Guess what it is, Mamats?
All right. I don't want to hear it.
Aqua from Konosuba.
But she's number 7.
Yeah, under worst.
Not the worst. Oh, Aqua come on. Girl?
Question mark?
You want to discriminate.
I'm not discriminating. I'm reading it.
All right, let's move on to our next segment, please. All right, we are done with this. You and your.
Oh, now you're in a hurry. Now I'm talking shit.
Oh, man.
All right, so before we dive into the show review, we've got one more segment we've got to do, and we got to do an actual double feature for our, what did we decide to call this? The Flash Anime Preview Review?
Anime Quickie.
Oh, we said on the Anime Quickie now, we done just got rid of all the wordplay. All right, so I guess it's the Anime Quickie, where we're doing the first episode of
Remember that?
Will you shut up and let me say it? Damn! We're going to be reviewing the first episode of an anime airing this season. So, we skipped last week, so we're doing a double feature this week on this particular segment. The first show is, I'm going to butcher this, Mushoku Tensei Isekai Itara Honki Das, which is Jobless Reincarnation for my English speakers. This is one of Mateo's picks. So I'm going to have him start with what he thought of the show. Got to do the synopsis first. Despite being bullied, scorned, and depressed for all of his life, a 34-year-old shut-in still found the resolve to attempt something heroic, only for it to end in a tragic accident. But a twist of fate, he awakens in another world as Rudeus Gray Rat, starting life again as a baby born to two loving parents. Preserving his memories and knowledge from his previous life, Rudeus quickly adapts to his new environment with the mind of a grown adult. He starts to display magical talent that exceeds all expectations. Honing his skill with the help of a mage named Roxy McGurdia, Rudeus learns swordplay from his father, Paul, and meets Sylphette, a girl his age who quickly becomes his closest friend. As Rudeus's second chance at life begins, he tries to make the most of his new opportunity while conquering his traumatic past. And perhaps one day, he may find love, the one thing he could not find in his old world. Love. All right, that's the synopsis. Mateo, this was your show. What do you think of it? The first episode on.
I have extremely high hopes for this show. Just the first episode alone got me hooked almost instantly. I love kind of how they set up the world and how they've already started building out the world. I love freaking characters. I love everything about this show. This show had me hooked that I went in and freaking read manga, read light novel, but based on just episode 1, instantly hooked. I love everything about this show.
All right. Lamas, what do you think?
I mean, this is the right way to do an isekai genre, I guess. Because this was done very beautifully, you know? because it start from the beginning, from zero at all, and they explain the power system. And I know you like this so much, Shannon.
You can't have a power system without rules.
They explain everything, so detail in details, I guess. And yeah, the art is so beautiful, and they managed to set the story, I guess, very clearly from the beginning. And yeah, other than the typical edgy stuff, I don't mind a bit, because yeah, I guess the edgy is not excessive, because it is just like a typical human being, maybe a typical, I guess, 30-year-old virgin who doesn't haven't experienced love or anything like that. Maybe that is the what is the word? I don't know what's the word. Like a proper representation. Yeah, proper representation of that character. So I guess the Echi is really represent that in a way. Mm-hmm. I really want to know what's coming up next in this show.
I mean, I really enjoyed the first episode, and I'm interested to watch more of it for sure. So far, I love the magic system. It wasn't just get good at everything. You actually have to build your mana pool by practice. So honestly, I'm loving it. They did give him a kind of a boost in the fact that he's a bit of a prodigy and that he doesn't have to say his spells like everybody else. But I'm fine with that little leg up, considering his mom's like a great wizard. We could say that's inherited ability. So I actually love the fact that everything makes sense so far. Nothing is just like, oh, because plot armor. No, they actually give reasons and actually show growth in the character, even from a baby. So I'm liking that. Some weird choices in the dialogue, like when he's first born and he's commenting on his mom's boobs, that's a little funky for me.
but it's not funky. It's okay. It's a gray line. He's reincarnated.
Dude, we already talked about this. Gray line is your stepmom. He literally just came out of her. That's not a gray line. That's just weird.
I mean, he's not, I guess, has his consciousness in her womb or something like that.
Right, but the way they're kind of describing this situation is that consciousness starts when you're born. Mm-hmm. So they're with consciousness in the womb. Again, we have to go with the information we're given. That is the information we're given. So you can't really use that as an exception, though, because as far as we know, that's how it always happens. So you have to go based on, okay, she gave birth, that's his mom. Go from there. I just think it's a little weird choice. Not a deal breaker. It wasn't like overly done. So I mean, I could let it go, but it was something very prominent in the first episode, so it was a bit much for me.
He said that he's not turned on by that because she is her mom. She is his mom, yes?
Commentary. It's the commentary.
Yeah. So in a way, it balanced out.
If you say so. But I do really want to see more of the show to see where they take it. I mean, overall, for me, give it a thumbs up. I'm definitely going to watch more of it. It may end up working its way into the rotation, but I can't wait to see more.
So, all right. So let's talk about expectation. What do you expect it will go from this point forward, Shannon?
I'm expecting a full-on standard isekai format where he has to save the world in some way, shape, or form, and he's just going to become like the greatest badass that ever was. How he gets there is going to be interesting, and what trials he has to face along the way is going to be interesting, because they're not really handing him anything. They're actually making him work for it, so I want to see how they make him work for it and what the great challenge is in the show.
So I guess this question is a bit unfair to Matthew because he is already reading all the manga and
everything. He's in pension. He's already getting way ahead.
So as for me though,
I'm not going to spoil anything.
Yeah. So I expect that this show will, it will stay in like a very like they said like a theme for this show, conquering your past trauma, you know. So we will see that throughout the show, and we will see like his past, you know, before he died and everything, how he lived his life and everything like that. So I guess this will become like a very relatable show for some people, and it will become like a very great isekai that I hope that people won't just forget about it, you know. So I guess, yeah, that is the our impression for Jobless Reincarnation. So let's bring another one, man.
All right, so we had a second one because we had to play some catch up here. And once again, I'm going to butcher this Japanese name because I'm out of practice. Oredake Hareru Kakushi Danu. I really need to practice again. I'm just going to go straight English on it. The Hidden Dungeon Only I Can Enter. This is like going the opposite direction from the last show. Because it's not really an isekai because it's not a reincarnation. But we're in another world.
It's a fantasy world, right?
Fantasy, yeah, it's a typical fantasy one, but it really goes left field, like the exact opposite direction of everything we just talked about. This show, it starts off kind of simple.
Before that, please read the synopsis, man.
Oh, my bad, getting ahead of myself. Despite his noble title, Nord Starga is at the bottom of the social hierarchy. Because of this, his fellow nobles oppress him and treat him like garbage. However, he possesses a rare yet powerful ability to communicate with the Great Sage, an oracle who grants Noir the answer to absolutely anything. After failing to secure a job as a librarian, Noir decides to join the Hero Academy. He knows he must become stronger to enter the institution. The Great Sage advises him to explore a hidden dungeon deep within the mountains. There, Noir meets Olivia Savant, a beautiful yet enchained maiden trapped within the labyrinth. Olivia bestows upon Noir a set of ridiculously powerful skills that grant him virtually total control over reality. Naturally, there is a catch. Every time Noir attempts to use his powers, his life points decrease, putting his life at risk. To replenish his energy, he must give in to worldly pleasures such as kissing his childhood friend. With his newfound powers, Noir begins his journey as a student in the Hero Academy, meeting new acquaintances and helping them through the dire situations ahead.
All right. So,
let's get into this. So, like I said, it went complete opposite of what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is born into privilege, just not high enough into privilege. Has right. a broken power based on knowledge.
No, and I don't think it's broken.
No, it's broken. Because here, let me explain why. Okay. So as far as his base power goes, it is kind of broken. He has the ability to learn just about anything by talking to the Great Sage. His only recoil is he gets a headache, which in the first episode he shows can be alleviated by kissing a girl who his hot best friend instantly just decides, you know what? I'll be a kissing dummy. Just out of the blue. And all of a sudden, that's just a magical cure to the headache. So he now has zero recoil for this OP power. Then he goes to the dungeon, meets another girl, gains an ability to absolutely break reality.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It breaks reality. And it's like, and the etchiness. It's like the way to replenish his abilities is basically to do things that bring pleasure to the mortal body. So yeah. Food.
What I would think that, yeah, if you have some kind of weird fetish, it can do too, I guess. Okay. Whatever that counts as pleasure to you.
Are we going to talk about him and his sister?
I try to avoid that topic, but yeah, you bring that up.
You can't avoid that topic. The first time he needs to replenish his abilities, what does he do? He goes home, rests his head on his sister's lap, which apparently brings him pleasure, and then hugs his sister, which brings him pleasure, and then she ends up curled up on hugging a body pillow like she just had the greatest night of her life. I'm sorry. There's some connotation here that needs to be addressed.
All right. Quick question. Which one is worse? I guess doing it with your mom or your sister?
Are we talking about what the show did or in general?
What you? I guess in general?
No, there is no either or. There's no either or.
Meteo, come here. We need to hear your thoughts on this.
Which one is worse? Well, for what? Are we talking about childhood friend or sister?
No, Mamad said, which is worse? Like going after your mom or going after your sister?
Going after your sister, 100%.
The fuck?
You gave you after your mom now, huh?
Bro, I'm talking about reincarnated in another world, though.
No, like, but we're talking about We're talking strictly about going after your mom or your sister because the shows have different concepts for that. So
if you're talking about just in general, both of them are just fucking bad. Both of them are fucking awful, and that's a taboo we will not speak of.
So literally, both are bad. Full stop.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, let me change the question quite a bit. So, between these two anime, which one that you can tolerate the most, I guess?
Right? Which anime you can tolerate best or which reaction?
Jobless reincarnation. Jobless.
So you're okay with that kind of edgy?
I'm fine with it.
Right. Not this one, I mean, huh?
We're reviewing the first episode here. So if they don't go back to the sister well, I can tolerate Hidden Dungeon Only I Can Enter. If they go back to that sister well, I don't know.
All right. So let's continue. What are your thoughts on this show, Meteo?
I expected so much more out of this show than what I got. This show just had the needless ecchi. I think it was just a stupid recovery to his power. I mean, they explained the power system for Shannon, if that works, kind of. No, this is make it better.
No, it didn't.
So don't you think that this show is going to be like a replacement for High School DxD or something like that?
God, no. Because High School DxD did it well. This show is just doing everything. I don't like this show. I think just the concepts are stupid. Everything about it is stupid. And just the whole thing that really just turned me off to the show is right when he was sitting down with his childhood friend at first, and they're just like, yeah, you know, let's kiss. Yeah, just make it better. Yeah. And I'm like, where did this come from?
Yeah,
why is this a thing?
Out of nowhere, all right?
Why is this a thing? What am I watching? And it just turned me off to the rest of it.
Because I don't think that guy has a slightest feeling for that his childhood friend, right?
Mm-mm. But no, I do
for his friend. The way they was kissing on that tower, he got some feeling.
He's thinking with the wrong head, let's just say that.
Yeah, agree. So it's a bit weird. But
the only points I will give them for like positive points I could really give this show so far is the not using some strange perverse way to transfer that power to him. That left them open for like a really bad position to be like, oh, you have to do this to get the power, and they didn't take that bait. So I'll applaud them for that little bit. I'll give them that little bit.
But they will do that in a future episode.
We don't know yet. Okay, if they do, I will take back those small points. But right now, I give them that little bit of points. I give them a little bit, but
so I guess this show is a bit too convenient in a way.
Convenient is an understatement.
Yeah.
It's definitely is an understatement.
It's definitely a mindless show that you can watch. There's no real thought to this show. Like, yeah. You're not gonna be lost in like what's going on. It's just gonna be like it's background noise.
Yeah, probably. Maybe something that you enjoy with your brain turn off, but there's no seriousness in this show, I guess.
No. Like, I'm interested to see, like, what kind of ridiculousness he can get into with the editor and how the power system works. Because I really want to know how the power system works.
Like, I mean, the power system is interesting enough.
It is. It's very interesting.
But the, like, the
payment, I don't like the payment system, but the cost system is interesting. So it's like, do you only pay that LP when you come up with a technique? Or do you pay it whenever you use a technique? They haven't explained that. They say, okay, when you come up with a new skill, it costs you X number of LP. But not, they haven't said anything about if you use it.
Yeah, in a way, yes. Because he makes some kind of a skill and it drains his life point, right? But whenever he uses the skill, the LP remains, I guess.
Right. We haven't seen him go down in LP because we've only seen him use an ability when he learns that ability.
Yeah.
So, like, the only time we got close in the first episode was when he did Rock Bullet. And when he used it the second time, he made it bigger using Editor. So Editor cost him LP, but we don't know if the bullet cost him LP.
But when he tried to make his childhood friend book smaller, it drained his LP?
Right, but that was using Editor.
So, yeah. We don't know if he's using the skill will drain the LP or just making the skill itself. We don't know that.
Well, no. So it's the big three that he learned: editor,
get creative,
editor, creation, and then the other, the one he could give to other people.
Yeah.
Still, those cost him LP. But once he creates a skill, it's his. It's always going to be his. So we don't know if using a skill that he's already made will cost him LP.
And yeah, we don't know that if he edit his skill, it will remain as like the edit form, right?
Well, I wonder if it's just going to create a secondary skill, or if it's like original skill. Like RPGs, if you think back to like Final Fantasy RPG, where it's like you had Blizzard, Blizzaga. Where it basically there's a higher powered version of it with a similar name. Because in this one, he called it Rock Bullet 100. So that could be a separate skill altogether.
But he used Edit, though.
He did.
No skill.
Does it edit the base skill, or does it simply... I mean, does it edit the base skill and then alter it permanently, or does it edit the base skill and create a secondary skill?
Yeah, that is my question, though. If it is right, the secondary skill, it is not Edit. It's great.
I don't know because he already has the base skill. He already has the original skill, and you're editing that skill. But does it remain the original skill, or does it permanently remain the other skill? Because obviously, if you edit it, it's going to stay in some form.
Yeah, I guess we won't know until we watch the whole thing.
Yeah, you need to watch more episodes and figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
So I guess, what does everyone think of the likelihood of watching continuing that show?
I will for the just the lol of it, you know. If I want to see something edgy, I will go for it.
So in other words, you'll never watch it.
Yeah, maybe it will be a bit weird because he is going for his sister. But other than that, yeah, probably I will watch the show.
I mean, and I want to see it. I want to see what other things they can come up with. I mean, it's not going to be in like the top rankings of anything, but we can see what it is.
Mm-hmm. And Meteor?
No, I probably will never go back to the show ever. There's too much stuff I want to watch to waste my time on this.
Oh my! All right. All right. So that's it for our first impression. If you guys have any comments or feedback about this show, let us know in our social outlet. We are at Shiitake Podcast everywhere. So let's continue on with our main topic for the day.
All right, so our main show for this week was Tower of God, Kami no To. So for the synopsis for the show, there is a tower that summons chosen people called regulars with the promise of granting their deepest desires, whether it be wealth, fame, authority, or something that surpasses them all. Everything awaits those who reach the top. 25th Bomb is a boy who has only known a dark cave, a dirty cloth, and an unreachable light his entire life. So when a girl named Rachel came to him through the light, his entire world changed. Becoming close friends with Rachel, he learned various things about the outside world from her. But when Rachel says she must leave him to climb the tower, his world shatters around him. Vowing to follow after her, no matter what it takes, he sets his sights on the tower and a miracle occurs. Thus begins the journey of Bomb, a young boy who was not chosen by the tower, but opened its gates by himself. They call his kind irregulars, being that they have shaken the very foundation of the tower each time they set foot inside it.
So, before we continue, so let's give it like a slogan and a score for the show. So, let's go with you, Matthew.
All right. So, this was very hard to do for me just because of my involvement with this show and how much I really do love the manga. But if basing it off season one, if we're basing it off season one only, I'm gonna give it a 9. And like I said, it was hard for me to come up with something or to not give it a 10. My slogan is it's always good to have an alligator as a companion.
Okay, that is a very safe slogan coming from this.
I could have said so much more, but this was a very hard show for me to rate and judge only off of the first season.
All right. Okay, that's fair. Shannon.
So for me, I'm giving the show a 4.
Whoa.
I was not a fan.
Oh. Whoa.
You keep saying whoa all you want to.
Oh, man. All right, let's hear it.
And then the slogan. I'm probably gonna get in so much trouble for this shit. The only slogan I can come up with this show, and it sums it up perfectly with what I've seen so far, and it's bros before hoes.
I don't think I've ever seen more of an accurate depiction of a show in manhwa other than that right there. That was perfect.
So
that was perfect.
Don't cancel me for this. Watch the show. You'll understand why I said it. So,
I agree 100% with you over there. But your score, man, we have to talk about it, man.
We can talk about the score after you give your slogan and your score.
All right, I will give it an 8. And my slogan is, backstabbing is the name of the game. So there you go. So I guess we have a winner this week, without a doubt. I will choose your slogan, Shannon, for this week.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's Shannon, 100%.
Yep.
I'm not proud of this one.
Oh, man. All right, so I want to know why you don't like the show as much as we did.
There are a number of reasons why I gave it such a low score. Starting for me with the art style. The art style at times is super, super clean, stylized. It's great. And other times, it just seems like they were just like, nah, fuck it. No, we don't have time for that. No, just half-ass it. And I couldn't get past that. I couldn't. So, you go from scenes like when he first enters the tower, and he's staring at the gate with the beast behind it, and the beast is swimming around the water, and it looks beautiful, beautiful. And then you go to scenes where they're just standing around talking in the sunlight, and you got, the character, the line work isn't even done all the way around the character. There's lines that are, half done. and it gives it a really broken, feel, going from that super detailed art style to that kind of like more basic art style. Like, God, I'm trying to remember a scene where I saw it. There's a few scenes where like where they're having the conversation with the director and they're sitting there, and that style that they switch to, it's just so jarringly different than the rest of what you see in the tower during, like, say, the Crown game, or the test where they're the water hunt.
The art style is so agree with you over there. The change in animation in this show is very jarring and very disturbing, to say the least.
Right. So that was number one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I just didn't like the storyline at all. Like, I like the basic concept, and it felt like it could have done something really cool, like Bomb being this irregular and he having this crazy powers that he doesn't know about. And then he's trying to find this girl, and it's like, cool, cool, cool. And then they get to the test, and the tests don't make no damn sense. And it's like, oh, there's too many of y'all. Kill half. Okay, fine. I can accept that. Battle to the death. Stronger survive. Gotcha. Okay, you killed half of y'all? Okay. Y'all need to pair into teams of three. I was just trying to kill that person. You want me to be on the team with him and trust him? Okay, fine. You have to beat the other teams in a fight. Okay, cool. Oh, now y'all all need to be friends. The hell you mean we all need to be friends? We just went from trying to kill each other all the way to everybody got to get along with each other. But we're all supposed to be climbing the tower by ourselves. They clearly say in the show, you cannot climb the tower with somebody you know. One, because it's against the rules, and two, because they become a weakness to you. But you want everybody to be friends. It don't make no sense.
I mean, the part that you cannot climb the tower with someone you know, is that what the one that when Rachel monologued the line?
No, Rachel talked about it partly. And I believe there was another scene where the administrators were talking where they said you can't climb the tower with something you know.
I mean, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about it, because the way they conduct the test is depending on the administrator, right? So you can do whatever test that you want. It is not fixated to that certain test, you know?
Right.
Is that right? So I guess that is the reason why the test doesn't make any sense, because it really depends on the administrator or the director as per se, you know? Right.
But at the same time, it's like, even though the director, like, I understand he was trying to get rid of Bomb. I understood that. But it didn't make sense with the path that he was taking. Like, even when they explained everything at the end, I understood Rachel. I understood why she did what she did. Which is also why I said Bros for Host. Fuck that bitch. But it still didn't make sense to me, the path that the director took to get where he was trying to go.
Because we don't know. All right. This is like a very minor, I guess, nitpick. His name is Yoru, not Bomb. I don't know why they changed.
Are we going to do this again? Bomb? Are we going to do this again?
No.
We go through this every week. When it changes where the show is airing, sometimes things change. Let it go.
No, bro, because half the time, I watched the original Japanese, right? Because half the time, I didn't read the subtitles, because I pretty much understand what they are talking about. So it bothers me a lot when I started to read the subtitles and Bomb, but his name is Yoru, you know.
His name's Bomb. Get over it. I'm gonna call him Bomb because that's what they call the man.
So Mikio, in the manhwa, is the character named Bomb?
Say it again.
Is the character named Bomb in the manhwa?
Yes, he is the 25th Bomb.
That is what they refer to him as.
So why in the anime adaptation that they go with Yoru though? Why not stick with Bomb?
I don't know.
That was one of the few things that did bother me about it was how they were just calling him Yoru instead of Bomb, because he really is just Bam. He's not. Maybe it's just a Japanese translation thing.
No.
I don't know.
It's not at all. Yoru in Japanese means night. You know, night.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. So I'm not sure, but yeah, his name in the manhwa is Bam. Or Bum. Yeah.
Oh,
the 25th Bam.
All right. So let's move on. So I guess the test, it really depends on the director, you know. I mean, one of the director assistant, like one of the ranker, right? Lee Roro, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Always question about the test that the director gave to them, you know. Because in this show, everyone has a hidden agenda, you know. That is what makes the story so, I guess, great, you know. For me, this show is just a prologue for like a better show in the future, I guess. And they made a good job of doing that to, I guess, demonstrate to us that what is capable what they are capable of doing in this just like a prologue thingy, I guess, in this just season one of this show. So yeah, let's hear your thoughts on this, Matthew.
So kind of like I said, without really trying to spoil anything, I really think Mamatsu, you kind of nailed it on the head, is that this is just really the prologue for the show and the greatness that's basically coming. I mean, you didn't see too much development, you didn't learn too much about the characters, but you saw those, you know, hidden agendas by the rankers leading the tests, by the separate characters, by fuck that bitch Rachel, I hate her so much. But there is literally every single person has their own hidden agenda that they're trying to push. And, you know, this kind of, these first couple episodes do a really good job of kind of introducing that to you and kind of getting you into it. I can see where it did lose some people because there wasn't very many like action-y parts that they did animate and things like that. So I can see why Shannon did rate it so low. But I mean, kind of going from,
they are trying to like introduce to us like this show is about betrayal and how to pass that, you know. So in a way they are trying to introduce us to that aspect of it a little, so that we can accept all the things in the future in a way.
And this is kind of, I understand it happens between manga and animation where things do get left out, and there are some things that kind of help explain these tests or explain. I am sorry, for some reason I cannot remember the blonde guy's name, the one that was deciding the tests. I can't remember his name for the life of me, but it explains why he chooses these things, and it explains who he is, and it's just the things that just got left out where kind of maybe it would have helped Shannon understand a little bit better, but I can't help that, and it was inevitable that it was going to happen to leave some stuff out.
But I mean, for me, they don't have to explain all the tests because it will, I guess, present itself to us in the future season, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, I'm on your boat. I fully understand, and I'm just trying to, like, you know, I'm trying to explain to Shannon, don't give up on this, because if a season two comes out, we're gonna have to watch it.
Huh. So in a way, this show, I guess, really introduced us to the whole world of the tower itself, you know. And the characters, I guess, just like a tool to explain to us what is who's controlling them, or in what way, and why they want to climb the tower? Because we didn't get to see. Yes, we know that if you climb to the top of the tower, they will be granted a wish or something. But we see that whoever who has climbed the tower, all the rankers, right, still remains there. And why? You know?
Yeah, and I mean, I just can't wait. I mean, I wish this would they would announce a season two faster so people can understand this, because I know you guys aren't probably heavy manhwa readers like I am, but like these 12 episodes was just the smallest microcosm of this world that you could possibly imagine. Like, you didn't even get 1% of everything going on or kind of what happens in this world. They didn't explain, you know, what rankers, like, they explained how rankers are made, but they didn't really explain what they are. And
yeah,
they didn't go too in depth into the Jihad princesses. They didn't go into depth about freaking the 10 great families and things like that. And it's just such a small microcosm that gets your mouth wet and gets you like interested. But I can see how it can lose people. But it's just like, if you stay hooked, it's just like, you'll be hooked forever, because this is, like I said, it was hard for me to do this call because I'm like, I know so much and I'm so involved in this. I've been reading it for, God knows, probably like 5 years I've been reading this manhwa, and I've gotten so many people addicted to it. I remember I picked it up in like my freshman year of college, and instantly I read like 200 and something chapters, and I think they're sitting at like 500 now. It's still going strong
now.
No, it's going strong. They're on a lull because of the health conditions of the author and the illustrator. But no, it's still going strong, and they're in without kind of spoiling anything, and it really sucks for everybody who's up to date on the manhwa, because it stopped in one of the biggest battles that has been dated in the show. So everyone's been left on like this year long cliffhanger. But it's a fantastic show. And it was hard not for me to give these 12 episodes a 10 out of 10, because I mean, there are things that I noticed that I'm like, I wish they did this a little bit better. But yeah, it's a strong 9 out of 10 for me, and you just can't wait. Yeah, it's so amazing. Amazing.
This is just a prologue, because there's so much going on in the show that I guess they will explain to us in the future season, like about the 13-month series weapon and stuff. Why the weapon episode? Who's the administrator?
To put it in perspective, you probably won't even understand too much about rankers, Jihad princesses, and the 13 months series, or the month series, I'm sorry, until like maybe freaking season 3 or 4, to be honest.
God damn it, man. But if this show remains this good, I don't mind, man. I don't mind waiting. I hope that Crunchyroll keeps continuing this show in the future, so that I can enjoy more of this, man. So Shannon, after hearing all of that, are you still have doubts that this show will become good at certain point?
Unless I see it, I gotta have doubts. You can tell me, oh, this show's gonna be great. The show's gonna be great. Until it's actually great, I don't want to hear it. Because how many shows are we gonna watch? And it's like, oh, the first season was fantastic. Here comes the second season. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I guess all anime has to, I guess, defend themselves from becoming like casting like a second season curse or something like that, because we all know that second season, most of the second season sucks.
Right. We call that the sophomore slump.
Okay.
Second year of high school or college is called your sophomore year. Mm-hmm. So we call it the sophomore slump, because it always, like, freshman year was always great. Everything was exciting. And then you hit your sophomore year and everything just kind of sets in on you and you realize, shit, everything is not as great as this as it was last year. So it always gets worse. So we call it the sophomore slump.
But I mean, if they follow the manhwa religiously, I think this show will be great, man. Without cutting too much of the minor stuff in the manhwa, like they did in like God of High School, I think the show will become great.
I mean, if they can get their art style right, and they can solidify...
I think the art style will remain. I think the art style will...
Yeah, but I hate that art style so much.
Yeah, I know. It's really manga-esque, right? Right? Right.
It's very... You know? Once the story gets going, you'll overlook the art. You'd overlook the art 100%.
I won't.
Yeah. It will bother me quite a bit, though. Because, I mean, when they did all the scenery right, you know, they saturate all the colors into the scenery, the animation is great, you know? But they keep changing all over the place. I don't know, maybe there's a couple of production doing each episode, maybe? And they're just combining it to, chase the deadline? Maybe is that the reason? Or maybe it is just a pure creative choice. I don't know. So, yeah. Okay. So let's get into like your favorite scene throughout the show. Matthew?
I mean, I'm going to be honest and honest with you. I mean, nothing really stands out with these couple episodes to be like my favorite scene. But if I were to have to choose, it would be when Endor C kind of first comes into the story and her team kind of comes out. I love Endor C.
In the Crown Game?
In the Crown Game, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Shannon?
I gotta say the Crown Game is probably probably my favorite scene in the thing. I just love the fighting and the strategy that went into that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just overall probably the most interesting part for me. And then after that, going into the whole classroom setting where they're trying to teach themselves just like got boring.
So before I said my favorite, so about the Crown Game, that's a bit convenience thing that happened in the Crown Game, right? So Kun, the guy that friended with Bum, right? When they enter the third round and then go to the fourth round, he just bring out like three people out of his bag. Wow.
Well, no, he didn't do that in the Crown Game. He did that in the waiting room.
I mean, it's just too convenient for the Crown Game. It's just a setup Crown Game, don't you think?
Well, no, they hinted towards it before that. So after they did the whole killer game, when they wound up in the hall, and there's like, there's still too many of you, so mm-hmm. you have to go through this next test, and they have to pass through the wall of Shinsui. And you notice how his bag got stuck. That was the clue that something was wrong, that something was off. So that was the thing showing you, oh, there's something in his bag. I caught that and I thought that was interesting. I was like, why did his bag get caught? Does he have somebody in his bag?
And then right.
Okay. And then that, so for me, it's like that kind of answered that question for me that I noticed in that part. So it wasn't.
We know that something isn't right, but I guess all that thing is just a setup for the fourth round of the Crown Game to me, I guess. I know it turned out well. It turned out well. But still, though, I feel that, you just had that three people all the time throughout this test in your bag. Oh, man. So what happened to those three guys after the Crown Game? Did you guys know?
They just went their separate way. They basically repaid him, and they're like, okay, we're just going to go do our thing now. And then they eventually got knocked out, I believe.
Oh. So that's why I said it's just a setup for that crown game. That character doesn't remain in the show, right?
No, I'm pretty sure they all got knocked out. I'd have to look at who they were again, but I'm pretty sure, yeah, they got knocked out.
So, Matteo, about the three extra characters, did they ever mention it again in the manhwa?
I'd have to look at a picture of them, but the characters that came out from the very beginning of the series, there's only like a very small handful of them that are actually still in the manhwa.
All right.
Or that they're still following, per se. Like, they might be climbing the tower, but the story's just not about them.
Okay. So, about my favorite scene, it would be like the tag game of Team A. That whole thing is so awesome, man. All the planning, all the strategy. We got to see, like, Kun characters and what he is capable of, you know? We did see that in the ground game, but in the tech game, it is something else, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely... I loved the strategy and planning that Kun was doing. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that's probably one of my favorite things to watch in the show, is seeing how Kun plans things out and how they play out and how he adjusts when they don't go quite right.
I mean, not just that. He planned everything throughout the tech game, you know? They manipulate Ho, and I don't know if he knows about Rachel's agenda from the beginning, but still, he managed to kill Ho and get him out of the friend list. But still, though, Kun is a very interesting character. So, yeah. How about a least favorite scene, man? Shannon?
Least favorite scene? Probably the whole episode where Rachel is like, where they're explaining Rachel and what she's doing and all that stuff and why she puts Bon off the platform.
Yes, I have to agree with you.
I agree as well. I'm in agreement. I just hate everything having to do with Rachel. I'm sorry.
If we were to make an award for the worst character ever,
oh, she's definitely in the top 10.
Yeah, she's definitely on top of that.
She's number one. She is number one, no questions asked. She is number one, no questions asked. I want to hear no arguments. Well, she's number one.
I would have to argue.
Then I will I will come and spoil this goddamn show for you then.
Men.
No, do you want to know why? No,
what happened throughout the show? But still, though, really? You have a very, very good friend, or maybe someone special beside of you, and you could have climbed the tower together, you know. But she wants something more. She wants to be special. She wants to be the star.
But see, the problem, the reason I say she can't be number one is because I still like Shao Tucker still exists.
Okay, not exists. He died.
I don't care. His character still exists. His character still exists in the world, okay? The fact that his character is still a character means that number one spot is permanently filled.
All right. All right, man. I don't want to argue with that. How about you, Matteo? Least favorite scene?
When Rachel pushes Bam. That's it. When Rachel pushes Bam. When Rachel pushes Bam. I hate Rachel. I hate Rachel. I'm sorry. I hate her.
So that brings us to the characters. I guess we have all to agree that least favorite character is Rachel, right?
Yep.
So no arguments. How about a favorite character, Shannon?
Kun.
Agree. For me, Kun is almost like the guy from Classroom of the Elite. But Kun, I guess, more upfront with his capabilities. Unlike that guy from Classroom of the Elite, he wants to be discreet and he He wants to be in the background or in the shadow and pulling the string. So, how about you, Matthew? Favorite characters?
Wreck. I mean, if you want me to list them, it goes Wreck and Dorsey Jihad and then Yuri Jihad. But Wreck is number one.
Yeah. Agree. That reminds me, though. This is like a funny scene in the show. When he bumped into the directors, right? And he said, "Oh, you are too small. I didn't see you there." And the director turned him into like a chibi version of himself. That is so funny. Do you have like a funny scene in the show, Shannon?
Probably when he got turned into like the miniature version of himself.
Yeah. Right. How about you, Matthew?
All right, I'm gonna do they have I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of funny scenes with Rack in it. I mean, you got the one where he first goes chibi Rack. You got the one where he's competing for the spear bearer who can break that target first, and he just gets destroyed. You just got his every scene where he's just so overtly confident that he's just going to win every single fight ever. I mean, yeah, he's great. He's great.
I mean, in a way, Rock is a tsundere, right?
Oh, he's the biggest tsundere ever.
Yeah, when he got mad or something, Kun just gave him a chocolate bar. And he's calm down and be cool about it. Oh, man. And another one, though, honorable mention. When in the underwater, I guess, tunnel or something, when Shibisu encounter the bull, he tried to be the bait, right? And he said, "Hey, I'm delicious." And when the bull come after him, "Oh, I'm not delicious." Oh my, that is so funny. Oh man. All right, so I guess let's wrap up the show. Expectation, I guess, Shannon. I know you don't like the show much, but expectations for you, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't really have any expectations at this point. It's just kind of like the show is what it is.
So, will you watch the second season?
Probably not.
Don't you want to know what happened to Bum?
No.
And what happened to Rachel?
Not unless I get to see her die.
Maybe, though. Maybe.
Like, cause I really don't. I'm not invested enough in the show to be like, I gotta know what happens. It's like it just wasn't that exciting for me. And the only thing, like, if I have to watch Rachel being Rachel more, I'm gonna lose my mind. So I don't like. It's kind of like watching Game of Thrones and waiting for Renly to get what's coming to him. Not Renly, Joffrey. Waiting for Joffrey to get what's coming to him. So, I mean, I got no like need to see what happens.
All right, that's fair. Matthew, I know you have read the manhwa and stuff, but will you still watch the second season if they, I guess, announce it?
As it comes out, I will watch it. I will watch every season as they release it.
All right. I guess I am on your boat, man. I really want to know what's going on with the tower, the mystery behind it, the secret, the hidden agenda, all the characters. I want to know all, man. This show is good. Out of three, I guess Tower of God is one of the best ones. Anime adaptation of manhwa, I guess. So there is Tower of God, God of High School, and what is the other one? I don't remember.
Noblesse is the other one that they've done.
Is that good?
I was not turned on. I wasn't attracted to it by the first episode. And I mean, keep in mind, I've read all three manhwa start to finish. Noblesse is ended. Noblesse didn't really captivate me, so I kind of put that on the back burner. So I'll probably binge watch it here pretty soon. Tower of God was very lackluster.
Okay.
But yeah, those are the three.
All right. So I guess maybe Noblesse is good. I don't know. I haven't watched it. But so far, Tower of God is on the top of the manhwa anime adaptation, you know? So, one more question, though. Do you think that more of this manhwa will become anime adaptation from the, like, the two that you have watched so far, Shannon?
Do I think more of it will become, like, will they'll animate more of it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I did not look at the reviews for this. I don't know what people were saying about it, so I'm completely blind to how everyone else saw this show. So I don't know. I've seen worse shows get second seasons.
Yeah, agree. Like Beastar, right? It has a second season.
Why are you hating on Beastars?
Wait, Beastars has a second season? You're kidding me.
Yes.
It's getting a second
season. That's awful.
Not it's getting. It's already in this season, right? It's already out in this season. Not getting. It's already out. Right?
I don't know. Beastars, it had its up points, but I don't know.
I mean, should we watch the second season?
No.
I'm saving punishment against Mateo.
Okay. We will save it for that. All right. Whenever Mateo break his promise, we will watch Beastars second season.
Sounds good.
Is that okay? Yes. Okay. Yes. So back to the question. I know you read a bunch of manhwa, so do you think that they will give them an anime adaptation?
More manhwa?
Yeah.
I believe certain ones, yes, they will. I will tell you...
My friend is obsessed with Solo Leveling. So I want to see that to get into an anime adaptation.
That's what I was about to say, because I mean, I picked up Solo Leveling when it was at 120 chapters, and literally in a day I was done with 120 chapters. Solo Leveling and Tower of God are my two 10 out of 10 manhwa reads. Everything else doesn't come to a 10 out of 10 other than those two.
I mean, there's a bunch of them. Maybe it's kind of like a hidden gem, you know?
I don't know. I've read a lot of manhwa. I mean, nothing just compares. There are a lot of very, very, very good ones. But just how well they've done Tower of God and Solo Leveling. I haven't read very many that equate to those two.
So, all right. I know this is out of the topic, but when you pick a manhwa to read, what is your criteria on picking them?
So a lot of my manhwa criteria, right now they're pretty hard to find. I have a group of friends and we've kind of share manhwa back and forth. So a lot of it's through suggestion, but I typically looking for, just like an action manhwa. A lot of them are typically the same. I will say that the two more popular manhwas or kind of genres of manhwas I see are they're either action or horror. They don't do a whole lot of romance. They don't do a whole lot of slice of life. Okay. They are there, but I'm looking mostly for kind of action, kind of character base, kind of, you know, where that first chapter goes and how does it hook you. It's a lot of it's kind of by share. By sharing with the guys that I do know that read. Right. Yeah, that's a big criteria.
I'm not a manga reader at all. I don't know anything about them. How about you, Shannon? Did you read manga at all?
Not anymore. I really don't have the time for it. the kids kind of eat up all my excess time. So I wish I could get back into it, but I just don't have the time, and I don't like reading it digitally, which is also makes it difficult. So
yeah, it depends on your device, though. So, some people like it.
I've got a tablet. I've got my phone. I've got my laptop. I don't like reading. I don't like reading on those things. I like physical books in my hand, and I don't have money for them.
Yeah, you are the old school kind, I guess.
Don't you say it.
Mm-hmm. I won't say it, but yeah. So I guess that's it. Oh man, that's loud.
Yeah,
I guess that's it. That is the end of our review of Tower of God. So guys out there, if you have any comments or feedback about the show, please let us know. What is our social, Shannon?
So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Shiitake Podcast. All three of them are exactly the same. And if you feel like emailing us, you can shoot us an email at shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
And also, on whatever platform that you listen to this podcast on, please give us a rating, give us a like, and maybe share it to one of your otaku friends. That will help us a lot. So I guess other than that, let's end the show like the usual, guys.
All right.
Oh, even if you were betrayed and were backstabbed by someone you love, please be safe and please try not to die.
All I can say is there's a lot of opai out there. Careful the ones you choose. No, ain't no opai worth your life.
All right. Meteo.
Always remember, if you're climbing a tower, you always want me on your team because I'm the best.
All right, guys. So let's say it with me now. Shiitake.
Shiitake. Okay.